Welcome to Series 5, Episode 3 of Conversation Eagle Mountain, a podcast about the tribe. I'm your host, Lance, and joining the podcast panel today is Liz.
Hello.
And Sabine.
Hi.
With episode notes done by Matt and myself. So Series 5, Episode 3, the screenplay was done by Marie McNeil. It was directed by Julian McSweeney, and the episode synopsis was read out by myself. Amber seeks news of Bray, but the truth threatens to drive a wedge between her and Jay. Slade struggles to be the Good Samaritan, while Ram thoughts turn to escape.
I just had no idea that the Technos would...
Say it.
Go on, say it. Deleted Bray. Killed, murdered, butchered, destroyed, assassinated. Graphic enough for you? Or should we stick to your quaint little euphemism? Save your breath, Jay, because no amount of sorry is going to bring him back from something so permanent, is it?
Alright, so, with the wailing police car sirens, alongside the imagery of Zoot impacting the city with a lot of painful memories, a distraught Amber cradles baby Bray in her arms and becomes resolute that she'll find out what's happened to Bray. With Jay's help, after a reminder that the telecommander should know anyway what's happened to him, they go to Mega, who lets them discover that Bray has supposedly been deleted, which Jay claims means he is dead. Crushed, Amber lashes out at Jay, telling him that his complicity means that he might as well have killed Bray himself. So a very juicy subject to start us off with, panel. What did you make of the show finally closing the chapter on Bray's disappearance by supposedly killing him off-screen, Amber's reaction while denouncing the techno euphemisms, and Jay's claims of no longer being a techno, despite still consciously wearing that damn uniform?
I am just so darn annoyed. It's how on earth did Jay, being the commander that he was supposed to be, like, not know what happened to them? Claiming he had no clue that deleted, that people were actually being killed, and then seeing the word deleted, instantly say, oh, that means he's dead. It's like, so you claim you don't know anything about this. And then, you do know deleted means dead, so you did know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, that's like, first we have Mega claiming he can't get in, and then Jay instantly being able to get in, and all that's going to my brain is, Jay, were you that big of an idiot, or are you just pretending to be that big of an idiot? Like, at least Luke had the guts to say he knew what was happening.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As much of an annoying martyr that Luke turned out to be, you know, because he was there for the plot. That's all Luke was about. He was there for the drama. He never pretended that he didn't understand what he was doing. He admitted, I put wool over my eyes. I convinced myself. I rationalized to myself. I turned a blind eye to the things I didn't want to see. But he never claimed that he didn't know. You know what I mean? You have to have respect for that. That's when you know it's real remorse. There was nothing Luke wasn't willing to do to make up for it. Like, when he's in the throes of guilt, as obnoxious as it could be, it was real. You know, sure, he's feeling sorry for himself. It's a lot of self-pity, but it was coming from a real place. He felt genuine remorse for what he allowed to happen, for what he participated in, you know, and you can't, I hate everything about how Jay and Amber's conversation starts. Amber, I don't have a problem with Amber. It makes perfect sense that the first thing she wants to do is, okay, we've defeated the Technos. Let's find the people they took. I mean, that's what we're all thinking at this point. Like, can mm-hmm. we just finally get an answer to what happened at the beginning of season 4? It's season 5 now. Let's do this, right? So, yeah. And the fact that Jay looks her in the eye and says, ever since I left the Technos, I don't have access to that information. That pisses me off, because this is something all the Technos try to say. All of them, like, conveniently, and it'll even come down to Ram saying the same BS, acting like they can't give you any information because they were cut off. But you were all in it together. Jay, you may not know where Bray is right now, but you do know where you sent him. That is a starting point. And none of these technos want to admit that part. Even Ram is going to pull the, I don't know, Mega must have done. No, Ram, you were in charge of the technos when you invaded the city. You guys didn't send these kids into the ether. You sent them somewhere. And you all know where that somewhere was. So it's like, to have Jay look at Amber and act like, well, because I left the technos, I no longer have access to any information. What about the information you had when you were still with the technos? Let's start there, Jay. When you put these kids in vans and onto a plane or wherever you sent them, where were you sending them? Start there. You know, like that's what you would do. Where was the last place you sent the prisoners? And then to be like, and of course, like his uniform is a joke at this point. Every time he says he's not a techno, it's like, you have a T on your head. You know what I mean? You didn't even pull a Steve Rogers where you altered your uniform. You know, like it's just that you still have a headset on your head. You know what I mean? Whatever. Mm-hmm. whatever.
And to say he doesn't have access and then be the only one who can type in the right password.
Like, that whole scene is comical to me, that Mega types it in, and he goes, sorry, he's not here. I'm like, you didn't even go past the A's. And so Jay comes in, and I'm like, what did Jay do that was different that brought up the B's? You know
what I mean? Well, it's very simple. Mega didn't want him to see anything. Yeah.
It makes sense that Mega's being reluctant, you know what I mean? Because he needs the Mallrats to cooperate with him, and this wouldn't make them want to. But it's like, what did Jay do that was different? He types it, and it allows him to scroll down to the next letter of the alphabet. Like, I mean, it's so dumb. And it's like, you need to explain that because you're saying that he needed Mega's password to even get in here. And yet now that he's on the computer, he's able to mess around and search any name he wants because he then searches for his brother, you know? And to be so shocked, this is what I want. I want the technos to answer one question. If you did not believe that these prisoners would be killed, which I'll give you a pass on that. Maybe you didn't believe that would happen to them, Jay. Could you please explain to me what was happening to them? Because Jay, every time you have learned about something happening to these prisoners, you've acted shocked, aghast, Pikachu face every time. And I'm like, so what was supposed to be happening to the prisoners, and you were okay with what was happening to them? But every time you hear about them being tortured with the helmets and put forced into these games like Amber or killed, you're like, what was happening to them? None of them can answer these questions. I cannot take your innocence seriously. Amber's right. You are completely complicit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can I just say how refreshing it was to hear somebody call out Jay? It didn't have to be Ammo. I'm so glad that somebody did. Like, you, sir, Mr. Techno Commander, are so complicit, and I'm so glad she ripped into you, even for a moment, because he gets away with so much. The show does write him out of his techno connections over and over and over again, and it's just ridiculous at this point. It's just ridiculous. Like, how can you keep doing it and expecting us to connect with Jay?
Especially when he takes zero responsibility for the part he played.
Because he wasn't a part of it, apparently.
Apparently. I mean, an influencer gets in trouble just for being a spokesperson for a brand that has a bad reputation. And they get called out by their followers who are like, you should have looked into this before you took that brand deal. And they're like, oh, you're right. I should have done my due diligence before agreeing to this brand deal. Influencers, like, who the frick cares about them? But this guy doesn't take ownership of anything he's done.
None.
It's basically what he is, though. He's a poster boy. He's there to sell the techno agenda at first.
See, we were saying this in the chat earlier. I wouldn't even mind if that was all that Jay was. But when you position him as the commander with all this access to and all the different things he's done during these invasions, and you keep pretending that he doesn't know anything, it's ridiculous. It's kind of, the word? You're insulting my intelligence kind of thing, because, like, you can't keep doing this over and over again with Jay. And then one moment, he's sending Ellie off directly to Jack. So he does know where the prisoners are going. Another moment, I don't know anything. I don't know what could have happened to them. Oh, but I do know what deleted means. It's like, come on, like, stop insulting me. Because you are not rehabilitating Jay for me. Come on.
Even his acting like he can't even get into the computers. And yet later, when after Steve is done being mad at Lex because he wants to find Tysan, she will just get into the computers to find the information he's looking for on Tysan. She doesn't have to get Mega. She's not like, Mega, I need your password because we're looking for somebody. Mm-hmm. She just logs into the computer and searches for Tysan on her own. So you can't tell me that Jay couldn't have done that. He needed Mega's help for this. You can't stop it. And he's been making this excuse ever since he quote unquote left the Technos. He's useless. He's so useless. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is not how you absolve somebody. This is not how you redeem a character. And they ought to know better because they've already done it before.
What's infuriating? You've just done it with Luke. How can we not, at this point, do it better? And they've just...
Exactly. They've just done it better already.
Not even half as well. Like, come on. You've got the blueprint right there. Like, how is this so bad?
And you know what? I could have taken it if Jay was somebody who didn't accept responsibility. If the show wasn't bending over backwards to absolve him of that responsibility. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one thing if the character themselves just doesn't... Like, yeah. Ebony. Ebony never feels guilty for anything she's ever done. But it's like, the show isn't bending over backwards all the time to absolve her, you know? But with Jay, he's a new kind of animal.
Mm-hmm.
So I really just, I hated all of it. Like, everything coming from him pissed me off so much.
And you know what? I might have slightly forgiven this if Amber would have stuck with her anger.
You can't mention this without talking about what's going to happen. I hate that they, see, this is, Amber is a woman with principles. She has always had principles. No matter how deeply in love she has been with somebody, she's always had that. She has not been someone who casts her emotions over her practicality. Like you saw with Sasha, you saw with Bray. And just to say that she's so in love with this guy that she's going to throw all her principles away, all her friendship with Trudy, all her principles over Bray, because she, apparently she's head over heels with him. I do not believe it. One moment.
Nope.
Yeah, that's complete character assassination of her. Because that's what pisses me off too. Like, I just don't buy that Amber could, I mean, I can see her forgiving him. I can see her moving on. Yeah. I cannot see her being like, yes, and I want to take you as my lover. To the point, I will screw over everybody so that you can be my lover.
Mm-hmm.
That part as well. Like, she will literally do that. I hate it.
For the man who is responsible of Bray's death.
Bray's death. You've just learned, like, this is the anger you should be holding for throughout the rest of the series towards this guy. But we're still going to, again, sweep it under the carpet to absolve Jay. So, yay.
And then we paddle back on it later.
Oh. And it's just, it's a really stupid roadblock to put, because, okay, if this is their love story, this is the dumbest roadblock you could put in it.
Right.
Like, if the goal is to get Jay and Amber together, mm-hmm. why would you make him responsible for her child's death?
Exactly. I don't get this.
I mean, sorry, her child's father's death, sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you make... And have him be so... He doesn't even seem sorry that Bray's dead. He seems more upset that it's put a block between him and Amber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, at first, before I realized he must have been searching for Ved, my brain just went, okay, Jay is looking for more info. It's different kind of beeping sounds. Is he trying to find out where Bray actually is because he knows the leader ain't dead? Or what's he doing? But no, we can't have that.
The whole time, like, as this will go on, all of his guilt, it's not about, oh my gosh, I was involved in something that got people killed. It's all about, she'll never talk to me again. She'll never forgive me. Like, he's not even upset that Bray is dead. He's upset that Bray's death has ruined his chances of hooking up with Amber.
Mm-hmm.
He even uses his own brother's death as a way to just make people feel guilty for him, like feel bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And so, yeah, I hate this scene because I'm just looking at him like, oh my word. And the fact that this is going to be whitewashed away so hard.
And then just for a moment, remember, this is a database. They can find everyone in there. Yet he... had this level of access and he could not look into it to see what happened with Chloe?
He never bothered.
Yeah.
I,
And in fact, when Amber brings it up to him, he looks like he's surprised that that's what anybody would want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, you want to find Bray? Oh. Like, Amber's like, yeah, we beat the technos. We want to find the people you took.
And why would you want to do that?
Oh, like it never crossed his mind that getting these people back was something that kids in the city would want to do, even though he's been working with these kids in the city all this time. It should be something he wants to do. But no, I love when Amber says, like, who, you took him. Like, yeah. It was you, Jay. Why are you sitting there like a gob fat, like you're like a fish with your mouth, you know, like, she's like, dude, you did this. You invaded my city and took my mans. This is you.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll ever get over the fact that she just forgives him.
Like, he's not that hot, Amber. No. I'm sorry. Come on.
He's done nothing to earn this for you. No. It's just absolutely no.
He's not even competent. Come on, girl. Let's raise our standards here. He doesn't even make you laugh. Like, I'm thinking, like, come on, I'm trying to find something, and there's nothing. Amber.
I mean, I don't know if you guys remember way back when you initially watched this, like, learning that deleted meant death. Like, what did you think about, like, Bray possibly being gone for good?
I personally felt it was a sign that they realized they weren't getting the actor back. Like, I felt like season 4, they were in limbo with a lot of the actors. You know, maybe it was contract negotiations. Maybe they were busy doing other stuff. And so they were leaving it open because they didn't know. And again, ever since they had killed off Amber, since they'd killed off Zoot, you can tell they regretted ending characters if there was any chance they could come back. So that's what season 4 felt like to me. They didn't want to pull the trigger on any characters just in case. So when I saw that they were claiming that Bray was dead, I was like, oh, okay, so Dwayne's not coming back. Okay, I got you. Mm-hmm. That's what it signaled to me. Until they need to jingle the keys at the end of this season to try to get you to come back for 6 and pull up. Oh, Bray and Fed aren't dead. Like, okay, whatever.
Alice and KC are still there.
Don't, I don't even
get me
care
started
anymore
on that. Like, don't get me started. Everything doesn't make sense anymore.
At that point, I was like, fan fiction, take me away.
I could totally get mega switching people's status to deleted just to mess with people, but...
But then why would he want them to see it? You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make sense either. Again, you want these people to cooperate so that you can use them as your personal scapegoats. You don't want to set up roadblocks. So it wouldn't make sense for Mega to purposely kill, you know, pretend that these people were dead, because that would just make them less... like likely to cooperate with the technos if they found out, oh, not only did you take our loved ones, but they're dead now, you know?
Unless you're hiding something where they are and you don't want people looking there.
Who are you? What's your name?
Slade.
Yeah, who are you working for, Slade?
Who said I was working?
Look. I might not be feeling too great right now, but my head is clear enough to know that this isn't real.
Meanwhile, over in Liberty, Ram starts to come round, but believes that he's either in another simulation or that Slade is working with his enemies. Quickly tiring of Ram's ingratitude, Slade escapes down to the bar, where he is vague to Ruby about his future plans before taking off on his motorbike. He doesn't get very far, however, before his conscience gets the better of him and he returns, just in time to destroy the tracking signal that Ram has activated. How are the panel responding to the Ram and Slade storyline and Ram's links with Stats and Wizard?
Oh, I suppose at this point I remember just thinking, okay, so is Ram dying or not? what does he have? Because he seems very lively. Because he just sounds like he's got a bad flu. He's got a lot of energy for a dying man. That's all I remember thinking. Like, I thought this guy was at death's door, and that's why he absolutely had to go into his cyber sleep. And he's incredibly energetic. And I didn't blame Slade for wanting to just walk out on him. I did start to wonder, okay, so did you save him just because you you saw someone in trouble and you wanted to save him? Or are you looking for, and obviously it does make sense later, spoilers, when you find out what Slade was attempting to do. He has gleaned that his brother ended up with this techno outfit. And so when he finds a techno, he thinks he could get answers from them. He thinks he could use them to find his brother, only to find that Rem is pretty useless and not someone you can even have a conversation with, and is like, screw it, I'll leave him. But then, his conscience gets the better of him. It's strange, as awful as Ram is being to somebody who has saved his life. I kind of liked that they were keeping Ram in character as being insufferable. Mm-hmm. Like, they at least take their time to not redeem Ram, but take him from a person that it's like, he's the worst, but he does find other people. He finds ways to ingratiate himself to the audience, not as a good guy ever, but as a character you still like having around. And I thought they did that smartly with Ram compared to other characters. It'd be different. Like, if the heroes had rescued Ram, it'd be like, this is ridiculous. Why are you guys doing this? Why are you dealing with him? But having new characters, strangers, deal with Ram and have their own reasons for why they'd even bother helping him, I think is a better way of keeping him in the show, so that he has a chance to grow in his own way and still be a part of the plot and blah, blah, blah. And so I like that they didn't immediately try to make Ram more likable. He's horrible. He's just as horrible as he's always been. I like that they just take the time to try to make him more likable without, ruining his character. I don't know if I'm explaining myself well.
No, yeah. I agree.
It's just like, you wouldn't make Lex instantly likable and lovable and innocent and everything.
Right. You got to change their circumstances, change the people they're dealing with, why they're dealing with them. Make them crawl their way back. And it does feel like Ram is having to crawl his way back out of a hole that he basically dug for himself and earn every penny of getting out of that hole and reposition himself. And yet he never kind of loses sight of still wanting to dominate the world and get back at people. And I was like, I'm glad they kept that. I'm glad they didn't immediately switch his personality with the season. I didn't mind the tracker retcon too much. I just thought, wouldn't Mega have been smart enough to check for something like that? Like, where was Ram hiding this tracker? This thing is huge. You know what I mean? It just seems like Mega would have checked for trackers, either on his chair or something. If you're leaving him to die and you don't want any other techno to perhaps try to find him. Or whatever. I just feel like Mega's too smart for that. I don't think that's something he would have overlooked.
He never took him out of the chair, though.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like he would have at least searched the chair or something to make sure there was no way to track him down. And this, again, this tracker's humongous. It's not a tiny thing. Mm-hmm. It's not like a tiny camera. This is a massive magic wand. It's like the size of a microphone. It's huge. And you're telling me that he wouldn't have found that on Ram's person?
And where was this magic thing? Where was it when Slade took him on the bike?
Where was this thing? It's ginormous. And then, of course, Ram passes out with it in his hands. And Slade is just like, I'll take that, thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of like the kind of fake flashback we saw with Ram, Stats, and Wizards. Okay, you're tying it all together. Mm-hmm. You mean something interesting. So I didn't mind that too much.
They're at least trying to.
Right. We don't get that all the time, so.
It's believable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, I buy that Ram would do that, and you've already introduced Stats and Wizards, so. And they're the loyal ones trying to find him. I'm like, this is a perfectly fine retcon for me. This is cool.
Yeah, it feels in character.
I mean, he wasn't going to tell Java. He was still testing her up till the day he decided to go into cyberspace. So, I mean, he clearly didn't trust her to come back and find him.
And he only magically started to trust Mega when Java wanted him to.
You know, so I'm just like, okay, this works. It's the size. It's the size of the tracker. Because I'm just like, where was that?
it's not like he has anything to put it together with. It's not like he had all the parts separately in his clothing.
Like, he literally just reached down into his pants and pulled this thing out. And I'm like, yeah, how did they not notice this?
Is that a tracker, or was he just happy to see them?
You're telling me that Slade didn't search this guy?
Yeah.
I mean, he lifted this guy. He must have found this earlier.
Yeah, so I just thought that was a little silly. It's the size that makes it silly. If it'd been smaller, then it's very easy to believe that he hid that on himself and Mega missed it, and Slade would have had no idea to even look for it. But this huge school microphone, I'm like, stop it. This thing's a flashlight. Cut it out.
And just, it's just even more ridiculous because we know they can make things like the tiny zappers.
Yep. Tiny cameras.
They have the skill.
Yeah, they've got all, they definitely could have had a much smaller tracker. In fact, I'm pretty sure trackers are naturally much smaller than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where did you get this prop? Bomb detonators are smaller than that thing.
No!
You were having a bad dream. About Tysan?
Oh, Siva, please, I can't help but I dream.
So you admit you were dreaming about her?
What if I was? You said my past relationship with Tysan doesn't bother you.
Right. Your past relationship doesn't bother me. Your present relationship is something else.
I can't undo the past. Nor would I want to. When I saw her at the hotel, I was shocked. But pleased to see she was still alive. And now that she's disappeared again, I need to know what's happened to her.
You need to get a divorce.
See, panel, where do your sympathies lie here, and what do you make of the growing rift between the pair? And also, as we now have it confirmed, at this point anyway, that deleted means death, what did you make of yet another Morat being potentially killed off-screen?
I don't think by itself that this is a bad storyline. The problem is that season 4 already happened. And so you cannot have Tysan be taken by the Technos, have Lex give up on her so quickly, hook up with a Techno, have a love affair with that Techno, never think about his wife, see her at the very tail end of season 4, and now choose to make Tysan the thing that comes between him and Siva in season 5. She should have always been their obstacle throughout the entirety of season 4, but she never was. You don't get to bring her back now and make Lex more determined than ever to find him. In fact, Siva makes perfect sense why she's looking at him like he's crazy now. Because it's like, why does she matter so much to you now? She didn't when it was fresh, when we ripped her out of your arms. You were still trying to get with me immediately after that. She was never a roadblock to their love affair. So she can't be the thing that breaks them apart now. Like, all the things that Lex is doing, all of his attitude, his fury, his determination, even he's so stoic in his, I've got to find her, to the point he's icing out Siva. It's too late for this. Where was this in season 4?
Yeah, I think that's my major problem with it. It should have been in season 4. It's a whole season away.
It should have been, and yet I'm still torn on this. Yes, it should have been earlier, way earlier. But I think for him, he had accepted that he was never going to see her again, and that it was totally fine to move on. And then to see her again, and have her be gone again, it's messing with his mind. It's just bringing back mainly the things he didn't let himself feel.
Yep.
And now that they've won, he should have a fairer chance of finding her. Because why on earth did she vanish again?
And once again, they'll never explore that.
Nope.
Like, this is the time. If you're going to retcon his feelings for his wife and what he was doing for a whole season while she was gone, this is the time to have that conversation. To have Lex. Like, if you got a chance, okay, you're like, all right, this is where we're taking the direction. We're going to make Tysan the crux between these two now. She's going to be the reason they break up, da-da-da. Then fine. Then rewrite, like retcon what was going on in season 4. Go ahead, do it. I'll buy it. It's not like they're afraid of retconning things. They do it constantly. with the relationships. So retcon what was going on between Lex and Siva the whole time. Now's the time to have Lex say, look, this is what I did. It was a coping mechanism. I didn't think I was going to get her back. This was the only way I could deal with it, was just to let go, to shut it out, never think about it, and accept she was gone, because that's Tribe World. But as Sabine just said, she came back. No one's ever come back before, but Tysan came back. And I can't do it again. I can't shut it out again. You know, but they don't even bother using this opportunity. And again, this only lasts for so many episodes before he's like, eh, whatever. I'm going to go gamble in Liberty. You know what I mean? I'm going to have a bromance with Slade and Ram. You know what I'm saying? Like,
don't remind me. Yeah, I can't believe it. You have such an emotional, well, you could have had such an emotional moment. You were, yeah. Lex has just lost his wife twice through mysterious circumstances he doesn't understand. You could have gone so many different directions with this, but instead, yeah, just to have him doing his stupid gambling scams in Liberty, it's just like, wow, how could you completely ignore this massive story strand that could have been for him?
Because we're not supposed to focus on Lex.
I mean, say what you want about Bray and Danny. It was always clear that Bray's latching onto Danny was just his grief coping with the loss of Amber.
He just needed a body replacement.
And then in season 3, what do? They retcon that love story very quickly by saying, oh, you know, Danny was never the one, and she knew that. And I think she always knew. She always knew.
I love that line. Yeah. She was there.
Like, that's hilarious, but at least they understood we have to retcon that love story so that no one hates him for immediately taking up with Amber again and never looking for Danny. They got that. So I'm just saying, like, take the opportunity, retcon what was going on in the character's head before so that we can proceed. But it's like they just use the Tysan and Lex drama in season 4 and 5 for cheap points rather than actually exploring what this is doing to him. And then when they've spent all their tokens, they're like, ah, well, let's just find something meaningless for Lex to do now. And it's like, you have 2 seasons of meat on the bone, for he could have been spending these 2 seasons in turmoil and trying to make sense of this and trying to understand his connections to people and what he wants. Does he want to trust? Does he want to get close? Does he want to keep people at a distance? Did he want to use Siva for sex? You know, on and on. But no, they don't bother with any of that. So why should I care that he's trying to find Tysan now? I don't. And it's a shame because Caleb is like, he's in it, you know? He's here to play. He's here to act. It's just, your storyline doesn't matter, unfortunately, because they're not going to do anything with it. Don't worry, Lex. You'll be over her in about 5 episodes.
Yeah. If only the plot had put you with Amber, you would have gotten so much more attention, Lex.
Nope. This time, Tysan's just a convenient way to separate he and Siva so she can end up with her sisters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, true. Mm.
I would have liked it if Java had been the one to delete Tysan, though.
Yeah, there's so many things I could have done with that.
Just,
but they...
like just get her out of the way for her sister's sake.
It's something Java would do.
Yeah.
But because what Tysan meant to Mega, what that was about, none of it's explored. This is all meaningless.
Yeah. Yet another avenue we'll never see explored or understood again.
Yep, it's just confirmed, oh, we only brought her back so you guys would come watch this season. And it worked!
It worked, yeah.
And then we're going to hit you with all of the characters are dead. That's the conclusion. They all died.
Wow. When you put it like that, Liz.
That makes me wonder, did they put one of those last episodes with Casey and Alice in just for the same reason?
Exactly.
And now let's just make them give a hint that Bray might not be dead.
Yep. Oh, that's all it was. About it.
I didn't even mind you like having Alice, Casey, and the guy there. They go, you had to drop that bit. Oh, wait, that Bray might hide from Bray. So obviously he's not there. It's like, oh, God, just stop it. At that point, I was like, no.
Yep, that's all it was. Jingled keys. And it sickens you. I mean, think about the end of season 4. We're taking down the technos. One of our people have finally come back. And we're like, oh my goodness, there's hope for the rest of them. We've gotten May back. And now Tysan is here. There's hope for the other characters coming back, finding out where they went. Season 5 opens with, they're dead.
But dead doesn't mean dead.
And then at the end of season 5, they're like, oh, wait, though, dead doesn't mean dead. And here are a couple of characters that we never said died, so we'll just show them. So you'll come back for season 6. And by then I was like, I'm not falling for it anymore. I'm done. You've had 2 years to give me answers, and you don't have any.
Yeah.
I'll just write my own story.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about this next scene, because Matt brought it to my attention, and it is very odd. So, missing Pride, May seeks reassurance from Trudy, who is soon distracted by Mouse's concerns about Sammy. As Trudy tries to make Mouse feel better, there is a very odd scene where Zoot appears to come down the stairs in the mall, but nobody sees him. So yeah, what is going on here, panel? Is this just for dramatic effect? Like, what does it mean? Why is Zoot walking down in the mall? Like, please explain.
I don't know, it drove me mental. Because I was the one who really wanted Zoot to be alive, so...
I found it confusing and a pointless scene. It's like when you're watching a scary movie, like a haunted house movie or something, right? And you realize the scare isn't for the characters, it's just for you, because the characters don't even see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for the audience. Like, there's something in the background. It's just meant to make the audience feel scared, but not the characters. They never knew that was even there. This is what this is. It's meant to confuse the audience about Zoot, but when none of the characters see him there, it ends up being pretty pointless. And I do think you might have something like they still didn't know what direction they were going in with the Zoot idea, because it's like, yes, we're going to learn, spoilers, that what Meg is doing is using holograms and a body double. Okay. So why would there be a hologram of Zoot in the mall for nobody to see? And why would there be a body double walking around the mall for nobody to see? Like, wouldn't the point be that someone needs to see him to spread the fear? It's not Ebony. Like, if it was from her point of view and she was feeling that presence, it would work. And it doesn't work with Trudy because she hasn't seen him, like, in her waking hours. She's only seen him in nightmares. So, yeah, it's just a pointless, confusing, get the audience questioning what's happening. But I don't think it works for storytelling, personally.
I wonder what it meant to people who didn't see season 1, though.
Right! Yeah, I wonder what Matt must have thought. Like, who is this guy again?
Yeah, or someone who started at season 3 and kept hearing The Guardian go on about Zoot lives. And then 2 seasons later, okay, here's Zoot.
Yeah.
I guess he ain't dead. Maybe The Guardian wasn't insane.
It's very odd. Just very odd to have that. Like, have it in that way as well. Just...
I don't even think they had decided on the body double yet, because they're using Danny and not the not the actor who plays Daryl.
Yeah.
You know? And so I don't think they had decided on how is this going to work? How is Mega making everybody in the city see him? It can't always be holograms. And I have a feeling they didn't think of a body double, and probably until Jack comes back and they were like, oh, you know what we should do? He should have a body double. And that way he can convince people that he's real. Because it even seems like, if I recall that future episode where Jack is starting to catch on to what people must be seeing, it almost seems like it's only then that Mega came up with the idea for the body double. Because remember, specifically when that version of Zoot grabs Jack, he says, is this real enough for you? Or something like that, by touching him. You know, so it's like, I don't think the writers had already decided on a body double at this point.
Nope.
Because it's like, why are you using Danny? You know, and not the body double. Not just someone who looks like Zoot, but you're using the actual actor who played Zoot, you know? And so, I don't think they knew where they were going to go with it. Not entirely. But it's possible because they didn't know they were getting Jack back at this point in time. They didn't know yet. It might have been negotiating, does he have time? Can he leave his other show? Da-da-da-da-da. And I don't know, but I mean, are we surprised that there wasn't a plan?
No.
No.
They've got ideas.
It does intrigue me, though.
Yeah.
That we're seeing Zoot continuously during these past few episodes. And then we see Zoot again. After we just learn his brother is dead.
I mean, did someone think of it as a metaphor of Zoot haunting everything around them? I don't
They probably did.
Like, this wasn't the scene for it.
Nope.
It would have worked. I think it would have worked if, like, the scene between May and Trudy was more eerie or maybe more uncomfortable, maybe, you know, but it doesn't work when you have, like, May's upset. Her mood is like, okay, but if Trudy's not matching her energy, she's in her toxic positivity phase, and that's not an insult to Trudy. It's just that the energy doesn't work for this supposedly metaphoric, ominous, Zoot is haunting everything around them scene, where he's walking in the mall and nobody sees him or notices him. You know, and it's like, this was just bad editing. I don't think this should have gone here.
Probably not. You know, for a moment when I saw this, I thought it was a scene we were getting much later. So my brain was like, okay, is this what Sammy's up to? Was that at this point already? That's all my brain did on this.
And poor Mouse. Siva's apparently never gotten around to those reading lessons because this girl couldn't even recognize her own name, which you'd think would be the first lesson Siva taught her. I was like, I thought you were teaching her how to read.
Mm-hmm.
This poor girl. Poor Mouse. She's just looking at these people. She's just like, and I also love how nobody gives a crap that Sammy hasn't eaten or showered, hasn't left his room. Mouse is the only one who is begging the quote-unquote adults in her life to give a crap about this kid. It's like, Mouse, they barely care about you. They only care because you show up in their vision, like you're in front of them, okay? You think they care about Sammy?
I loved how Mouse went with it. I even offered him a hug and he said no. And, you know, that's a big deal because he's a boy and ew.
Oh, the poor Mouse. She is trying to carry this relationship between her and Sammy.
And she's instantly reduced to a babysitter role already.
Poor Mouse.
And I think when she says to Trudy, I don't have anything to do, it felt very meta, I'm going to be honest. Because it's like, yeah, what? You haven't given this little actress anything to do. It's the same storyline for like three episodes. There's something wrong with Sammy. Could someone please help me with him? And the most any of them do is go in there and give him a 5-minute pep talk and then wash their hands of it.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how they don't give her any solid story beats, really. Like, she's such a capable actress. Like, why did you not give her more to do?
Because we're now supposed to focus on Jay and Amber from now on.
If it feels like even like Patsy and Chloe back in season one, it feels like even they had more just to generally do than Mouse. Yeah. Like, yeah, don't get
and
it.
And even on their own, it wasn't just that, oh, when they were together, they could write something. You could often see, like, the girls starting in season one struggling with their own things on their own stuff going on, their own thought process, their own concerns, their own coping mechanisms, their own kind of trouble that they might get into, their dynamics with other people because of it. And it's like, you're giving Mouse nothing to do. This poor kid. I mean, even in season two, when they were literally losing the kids all the time, like the school is in the mall and you have 8 students and you've already lost 2 of them, they still tracked the kids down all the time and caught them doing things they weren't supposed to or whatever. Like, they still felt like there was supervision, you know, but you have one little girl to keep track of and the boy she brought home that I get it. None of you care about Sammy. I don't care about Sammy. None of us asked for him to be here. He came home with Mouse like a stray cat. I get it. But he clearly needs help. Where are all of you all of the time? What are you all doing?
At least last season we could claim they were down in the mines.
Yeah, I really don't blame Mouse for leaving.
Get
out of here.
Like, she's like the smartest of this entire crew.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Leave the sinking boat while you can, honey.
That brings us to our final thoughts of the episode. Feeling guilty over Bray's deletion, and after an earlier implication, perhaps Ved's too, Jay opens up to Trudy without giving details, and she's able to relate due to her experience with the Chosen. Later, Trudy seeks the truth from Amber.
Amber, what is it? Amber, please tell me.
He's dead. Bray's dead.
Oh my God. Oh. And they mourn Bray together before Trudy has another sleepless night and wakes to an apparition of Zoot. So yeah, panel, what do you make of the scene between Jay and Trudy and her reaction to the news about Bray?
The only good thing I can say about the scene between Jay and Trudy is that if you are going to have someone try to absolve Jay of his actions and any guilt, Trudy is a good character to do it with, since they'll never let us forget what Trudy did, ever, ever, ever let us forget what Trudy did. They'll never let Trudy forget what she did. She'll never let anyone forgive her for what she did. It'll even be a huge plot. Jay's even going to throw this in her face. Anyway, she at least is a good character to try to absolve him. I will say that. It wouldn't have worked with most characters, but Trudy is somebody who found herself involved in some horrible stuff and genuinely feels guilty about it and tends to assume others feel guilty for the bad things they've done. And as Sabine has pointed out and Tamsin has pointed out, likely due to her guilt that she'll never forgive herself, truly always wants to give other people another chance. So if you were going to use somebody to try to absolve this sack of Gosa, Trudy was the right person to do it with.
Mm-hmm.
That is a begrudging, I'm just saying.
I agree with you on that part. I'm just so annoyed by this. Because we already know that Jay knows exactly what's going on here. You know, he's been informed about so many things, and he knows he's responsible for Bray's death. Or, well, he doesn't feel responsible, but he knows Bray is dead, and he comes whining to Trudy. And all I can think is just get out of here, Jay.
He's not even mad that a young man's life is over. He's not even mad that there's a baby upstairs who will never meet his father. He's upset that Amber's mad at him.
Mm-hmm. And let's not forget, Jay knows, because it was mentioned in an episode last season, that Lil Bray is Brady's cousin. So he knows what this means, that he would have meant something to Trudy as well. But
yeah, one could argue it's just very insensitive of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Jay doesn't care about anybody's feelings but his own.
Because keep in mind, at this point in time, Jay doesn't know how Bray and Trudy are related.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that Bray is Brady's uncle. For all you know, you're telling her brother's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know the connection. You just know this is a family unit, and these two children share a connection to this man, that you're responsible for his death, and you're only upset that Amber is upset at you now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you don't want to tell Trudy what it is exactly.
Because just know I had nothing to do with it. I didn't know, Trudy. That's all you need to know is I'm innocent.
I'm innocent. I'm not going to tell you. Amber has to tell you because I can't. Because it's not my place
to
ridiculous. Tell you.
That was ridiculous. Yeah, like.
But feel bad for me.
Feel bad for me, yeah. No matter how you're about to feel, I'm the one suffering here.
no matter what you find out, remember, it wasn't my fault.
And we know he's heard something of the history of Amber and Ebony.
See, this is where it gets so stupid. Like, the amount of information that Jay supposedly does not know. Like, how has he got no information on the Chosen? On the Supreme Mother? On Trudy? Like, on Bray and Brady? Like, come on. This is
Bray, Brady, Ebony, and Bray.
It's just ridiculous.
But just the fact that he knows about the issues between Amber and Ebony, it's to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, Ebony was still kind of with him at this point.
Jay reminds me of one of those people where nothing exists except for what he deems important at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be important to him. you know, but everything outside of that purview does not matter. Remember, Jack and Ellie are going to come back, and Jay is going to have no idea why they didn't find each other or where either of them were sent, despite directly sending Ellie to Jack.
Yep.
And no one is going to call out on that.
That's what annoys me. Nobody calls him out on it.
Ellie is going to come wandering back into the city, not remembering anything. And Jay isn't going to even pretend to be confused. Like, wait a second. How come you didn't find Jack? I sent you to Jack. No, it's like that never happened. Right. He wasn't responsible for it.
Nope.
You know? And it's like you had to have known where Jack was to send Ellie to him. Or were you literally just putting people in trucks and not caring about where they went? Not bothering to confirm they got there, Mr. General.
Yeah, and just telling Ellie what she needed to hear to go quietly.
Yeah. He was either lying then or he's lying now. At the end of the day, he's a lying liar.
Yeah.
And it's not that hard. If you don't want him to be responsible for what happened to Bray, it's not that hard to be like, look, I sent them to such and such a labor camp. That's where I sent them. And I deemed that an okay thing to do to people. Okay, that's terrible because you still sent people into frickin' slavery, but at least it's...
I thought he was shoveling coal.
Right, that's what I thought they were doing. I thought they were working, okay? What happened to them after that, I am not responsible for. And that is at least plausible, but you can't completely erase any, like, what he was doing. Where were you sending these people, Jay? You had to have known. Or else you're even worse than you come across.
It's like he got a script from Ram every day. You have to do this, 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 and this. Don't ask any questions, honey.
Because if we take Jay at his word, that he literally had no idea what was happening to his people, then you're saying that you condoned people being kidnapped and sent into the ether and lied to their friends and family that they were okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which you couldn't have possibly been able to confirm because you didn't know where they were going. They could have been being sent to a slaughterhouse, but you didn't bother to even look because you didn't care.
I was going to say, it's worse, he didn't even care. As long as he got his structure and his schools and his hospitals, he didn't care. What happened?
Like, the show doesn't get it. They wrote this character in such a way that there's just no coming back from it if he doesn't accept responsibility.
And he never does.
And he never does.
But this is the man Amber's going to go for. This man.
This is the guy.
She's going to ruin her friendship. At that moment with Amber and Trudy, I was like, oh, this friendship you two have, and you're going to throw it in his. I can't even watch the later season's episode because it's going to annoy me so much.
And it's like, okay, fine. If you want Amber to be with Jay, I don't have to like it. All right, but you still could write it well, okay? You could actually hone in on the turmoil of Amber wanting somebody she shouldn't want that goes against every principle. They did it with Tyson and Lex, for Pete's sake. Lex was the exact opposite of the kind of man that Tyson held up as the kind of man she should be with. And she actually talked about that. Like, he's everything I shouldn't want, you know? And yet I still want him. And, you know, like, they could have done that with Amber. That could have been her turmoil. That could have been the wedge between them, that Amber can't quite forgive herself for wanting to be with someone who is the reason her child doesn't have a father anymore, the reason she doesn't have the love of her life anymore, you know? And that's what she's trying to make peace with. And even... like looking for permission to love him. But no, they'll make Ebony and Trudy the problem. They'll make them the wedge between these two. And it's just like, you didn't even try, but you thought people were going to root for this couple?
And honestly, Ebony and Trudy have so much reasons to dislike Jay with what he did that I just can't even go there. Like, at least Ebony didn't know the Bray part.
But the only female, literally the only female who doesn't like Jay is the female we're not supposed to like ourselves. That's May. She's the only one who tends to have a problem with Jay from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not supposed to like May because she does a bunch of shady stuff this season. So it's like, who cares? Who cares if she doesn't like Jay? You know, but every other female. And it's just when I think about how they used characters back in season one, understanding how the characters were viewed by their audience and using that as a way to teach the audience a lesson. So, for example, when Lex attacks Zandra, it's very important that characters like Amber and Ryan denounce his actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have Amber, who is the moral center of the mall. A young audience can understand that she speaks out against what Lex did. It was wrong. If Ryan, a male, and his best friend attacks Lex for what he did to Zandra, that is painting a picture for your young audience to realize what Lex did was very wrong. They were smart about how they used their characters. They understood how these characters would be seen and how their word would be taken, you know, but they stopped doing that. And that's mm-hmm. why it's like the narrative is just like, Jay's okay. And we're going to have basically every character that you like and respect tell you he's okay and that you shouldn't blame him for anything he did. That's irresponsible.
Yep.
Hmm.
And very hypocritical in comparison to how they treat Trudy.
Yeah.
Because at least Trudy did what she did with a redeemable reason.
And she's been gone. She's got to go through the trenches. I mean, she's been punished for what happened, for what she did. And not to mention, she didn't join the Chosen voluntarily. She was kidnapped.
Yeah.
And she never rescued.
Because she was kidnapped, not rescued. Her child was kidnapped, and nobody cared. Ebony just handed her over. She gave up her chance at freedom just to, you know, save Lex's life.
But she will wear the Scarlet Letter until the show ends. Mm-hmm. You got Ebony, the assassin, walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous. I can't believe we're in season 5 and we're still holding Trudy's feet to the coals because of the Chosen. Let it go! Girl had to go to rehab, okay? She paid her dues.
And mentally messing with her with the whole suit business is one thing, but...
Yeah, I mean, from Trudy's point of view, this must be traumatic. Like, everyone's screaming Zoot. You're seeing apparitions of Zoot everywhere, like,
and then you find out his brother, who you preferred, is dead.
Is dead.
The man who made sure you were still alive and got you and your baby to safety.
That's a lot, yeah. After everything she's been through. And
there'll be no time given to that story and what she must be going through, having to relive this.
And it's such a shame, like, she's the perfect person to do it. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you want to, like, show how important this Zoot figure is to even the audience who've just joined us for season 4, like, this is the person to do it through. But no, we don't get any of that.
There's no exploration as to further the Zoot further. Like, he's dead. This kid died. He was, like, 15 years old. He never got the chance to even decide whether he was going to be a father, whether he was actually going to be there for Trudy. He died before the decision could even be made, you know? And his likeness being used to basically torture his own child and her mother, you know, his brother. Like, there's no exploration of how dark and messed up that is. Like, can you imagine what he would think of his likeness being used like this after his death?
He would have been so pissed off. I mean, we've seen how mad he got when someone went after his brother. Let alone if he was still around knowing someone was going after Trudy and his child like that.
Like, if you're going to bring him back, have a real, you know, reason. Use, like, explore that, you know, but no, he's just back because they run out of ideas. The technology thing didn't work out that great in season 4. You know, they gained new viewers, but I think they lost a lot, you know? And so you can see that in season 5, they're trying to go back to their roots with the introduction of Liberty, the more on-brand tribal theme and stuff like that. And even using the technology in a way that's still more tribal than it ever was in season 4. So if you're going to go back in time, then maybe you should find your old writers and your old storytelling abilities and what you were trying to say. Ugh, poor Amber. I was just thinking of, like, what got her through season four? She had to keep her son alive and just believe that she would see Bray again. But the only thing she could do for Bray was keep their child safe. And she just didn't dwell on him. But the Technos are gone. And you can see how eager she is, giddy. Finally, finally, she can find him. Only to learn he's dead. That all of that. And it's like the grief comes late, you know? And I really feel for her in that moment when she's got to tell Trudy, Bray's dead. What are we going to do? Because what does she have? Like, think about, like, holding on to the hope she'd see him again and that their family would be reunited, that he would see their son. That's what got her through every day. And now, no, that's never going to happen because he's dead. When she says that, what are we going to do? And just falls into Trudy's arms, like, oh, baby girl.
Mm-hmm. And as usual, Antonio smashes it. She's like, you can see how upset she is, but she's like holding Amber because she knows she has to comfort her at the same time. It's like, right. Oh my God. Yep.
You can see all five stages of grief on Trudy's face being hit with, like, this is what Jay was talking about. Like, oh my word, that's what he did. That's why Amber's mad at him, you know? And seeing her friend and just thinking, oh my goodness, our children will never see him. Brady will never see her uncle. I'll never basically see my brother again. And Antonia wears every single one, just cycling through her expression. Horror, you know, it's really good moment between them.
Yeah.
What is there to say? You can't say anything. All you can do is put your arms around that person. It's such a different circumstance from his disappearance because they were in survival mode. You know, their lives were in danger. They didn't know what was going on. She had to keep Amber and the baby alive. And so you saw her, she kicked in and focused on that. But here it's calm. They're supposed to have won.
And especially with the idea that, like, once he found Amber and she found Bray's ring, like, at that point you saw her. Back at season four, we saw her going through, like, oh my goodness, Bray's gone. Something's happened to him. But she couldn't focus on that. She couldn't focus on what that would mean or, like, if he was still alive because she had to help Amber. And after they learned that, you know, the Technos kidnapped people, there was hope. And now to have that all that hope smashed again, it's just crazy.
In that moment, they only have each other. They're the only two people who understand this pain.
Yep.
This loss.
And not just because it's Bray, but because she knows what it's like to lose the father of your child.
Yep. Any dreams that you might have had that this could work out, that we'd raise this child together, anything, it's up in smoke.
And I'm not surprised she has nightmares after this.
Yeah.
Probably been more surprised if she hadn't.
True, we didn't even get Ebony this episode, did we?
No. Oh. She's probably wandering the city streets out of her mind at this point. And Jay's not concerned about her at all. That's wild. Not only do we not get Ebony, but Jay doesn't mention her name once this episode. He don't know where his girlfriend is. He don't care. She's having a mental breakdown somewhere and he didn't even notice.
And he knows Bray meant something to Ebony.
Funny. Yeah.
That's
funny. He doesn't
funny.
Care about her.
It is funny when you realize that you haven't seen Ebony and what she must be doing this episode, seeing Zoot going crazy, scared out of her mind, and Jay's only focused on Amber. Amber's mad at me, guys. Oh my God.
Amber's mad at me because she found out that I'm responsible for killing Bray.
Like, just give a rewrite. Instead of it being Trudy who finds him, he finds Ebony and he confesses to her that he's just realized that the people he helped take were murdered. You know? Like, that could be a moment to actually show remorse from him. Not seeking, you know, someone telling him it's okay or anything like that, but actually showing guilt or whatever. And you can still have Ebony kind of ice him out because, again, she's going crazy. But you could have given him that moment. But when he goes to Trudy, it's too, like, poor me, you know? But they don't even, she's nowhere to be found, and he's not at all concerned about her lack of presence today. He knows she's going crazy. He knows, and he just learned, remember, just last episode, he learned that she's seeing things, she's seeing Zoot, she's seeing things that aren't there, and she tells her, she breaks down, "Don't leave me." That's the last time they were together. So where's she been all day, Jay?
Well, he was off running around with Amber, trying to look for answers about Bray. And then to realize, whoopsie, I made a mistake.
Is she still in bed? Out of her mind? Comatose? No, you don't care. Oh, man. It's like the writer has forgotten this episode. He's still in a relationship. You haven't resolved that yet.
This would have been a great way to resolve that.
Like, clean up that before you try to make us care about him and Amber. You just try. Just, I'm telling you, season 5 just doesn't try. They don't care. They don't care.
This would have been a perfect way to push Ebony over the edge and break up that relationship.
Could have been. Ebony
could have just gone mad, gone ballistic over the fact that he's to blame for Bray's death.
Yeah, it could have used it, definitely, to add an extra wedge between them, her not being what he needs her to be, because he's feeling sorry for himself, and her not giving him what Trudy ends up giving him, which is, oh my gosh, whatever you did, it's not your fault, blah, 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 you know? And, but nope, they don't utilize her at all, because that relationship's dead to them.
Like, Ebony would have forgiven him until she learned who he was talking about.
And that's if she's in her right mind.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many possibilities of how that conversation could have gone.
Can you imagine her hearing this from Jay and then her seeing Zoot again?
Shame.
Where's Tamsin's missed opportunity button? We need it.
Yay, we have Trudy and Jay to look forward to. Yay, woo! Excited.
Stop it, you're making me nauseous.
Hey, the longer them two are together, the longer I can stretch out before Amber and Jay. Oh, I hate you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking forward to it, because the whole time Trudy is treated like the problem. Even when she's in the relationship, like, Trudy is just treated like she should have known the whole time that this guy didn't really love her. You know, and when you think about how maturely Trudy will handle this relationship compared to how she did when she was younger, you know, and I'm not looking forward to Trudy and Jay. And the thing is, I actually did root for Trudy and Jay at the time. I was like, okay, you know, our girl deserves some love. You know, maybe this guy will redeem himself and prove himself. But nope, he's a monster and she's just a speed bump on this Jamber train. I'm like, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to involve her in that at all.
Absolutely didn't. I don't get why they did it. They didn't have to. You got the right there. Bray's death. You did not need Trudy.
You didn't need Trudy. Again, if that is where Jay had landed with Trudy, I'd obviously feel she deserved better. But it's like, okay, fine. You know, Jay, because of Bray, Jay and Amber are never getting together. And he finds love with Trudy. He finds somebody who can relate to being branded because you've messed up once. You know, you did something wrong and people can't forgive you for it. And there could have been an actual love story there, you know? But to just use her to keep he and Amber from getting together, like, she deserved better than that. There was no reason to treat her that way, to involve her in this at all, if you were just going to screw her over. You're not even going to do the dignity of their relationship ending on mutual terms. It ends in betrayal that she eventually apologizes for. What?
Yeah.
You did her dirty in every way you could possibly do a character dirty. Like, she didn't deserve... Why? I'm like, and I just cemented. They hate Trudy for some reason. I don't get it. I don't know what they were thinking. And then they expected the fans to applaud Jay and Amber being together. They really did. They really expected the fans to be like, yay!
And unfortunately, there were also people who did that.
But it's a very small minority.
Yeah,
I don't find Jamber fans.
Yeah, thankfully.
And it's even worse. This is the worst part. Because among the people who hate Jamber, they blame Amber and not Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, that's the hilarious part about it.
I'm not looking forward to this. No, I am not.
Mm-hmm. And on that happy note, that brings Series 5, Episode 3 to a close.
Thank you very much to the panel, and you can show your support by clicking on that like and subscribe, and following us on all the major platforms. You can also leave us a comment or get in touch if you'd like to take part in the future episode of the podcast yourself. Just search for The Tribe at UK or Conversations on Eagle Mountain. You can also throw us a donation. Just head on over to buymeacoffee.com/thetribe.co.uk.
And we'll see you next time for episode 4. So until then, bye.
Bye.
Bye.